You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to Window Seat, recorded live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Broadcast on Full Service Radio and presented by Amila, the Adams Morgan Youth Leadership Academy. We're back. It's another Thursday. I'm your host, Chris Price. Today, the crew I have with me is Mr. Jamal Gray. Can you hear me back there?
We good. What's up, bro? Peace.
And Mr. Francis, what's going on?
What's happening?
You like you busy, man.
I'm always busy. Work never stops.
Was it a good week?
For me?
Yeah.
Every week is a good week for me.
I'm enjoying this week too. I'm kind of like in between jobs, and I've been driving Uber until I start my next job, which is Monday. They just sent me a text saying, hey, I got to start Monday.
Uber treating you well?
What? I have a little bit too much fun driving Uber. You get to meet people, and I start around what time? I start 7 in the morning, and everybody in D.C., for whatever reason, is in a good mood at 7 in the morning. I kind of catch a funky mood if I'm driving later in the afternoon, but, you know, you learn some things about yourself. I'm learning that I vibe a little bit better with women than I do men. I'm learning that when black men get in a car, they see a black man in front, they don't really say too much. I don't know what that's
because they were hoping you were a woman.
I don't know what that's about.
They mad they Uber drivers.
And gay men treat me really well. So yeah. Shout out to the gay men. Y'all holding me down. Man, what are you doing, man? You're that guy that's out on a date scrolling through your phone. This is right. What are you doing?
I'm trying to organize the pictures in my phone. I be looking for stuff and got to scroll forever, so I'm trying to organize the pictures. And I don't want to stop because then I'm gonna have to start all over again. But I'm paying attention, man. I'm multitasking.
All right. I'm very excited about today's guest. I can tell you a lot about this person because I've actually used his services. One of the things I admired most about him is. And I admire this about Trump, too. So how they use their words in respect to themselves, how they tell them their stories of themselves. If you listen to Jason talk, he'll tell you, you know, I can show you how to make $1 million. So it's not, there's not that energy of being timid or I can't there. He's also busy as fuck. Can I say that? You're busy as fuck.
Yeah.
I feel like you're flying around to conduct business.
Yeah.
Jason teaches Oracle DBA. You know, I'm going to say data analysis because I went through his class and I got a job for data analysis. And you're transforming lives. You're taking in students who are driving Uber like myself. My job starts Monday, so don't judge me. So I'm switching. I'm switching from one role to the next. My clearance had to switch over.
When does it start?
It was supposed to be this past Monday, but they pushed it back a week. So, yeah.
So you got a job?
Yeah, yeah. With DHS, Department of Homeland.
Oh, you making good money.
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. So you're transforming lives, which is important. Feeding the community.
Yep.
And you don't have any problem saying how you feel in class. We had a white man in class. I feel bad for this guy. Jason would say just how he felt. And you also get into the bag.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to talk about, but you get into the bag.
We're going to get into it.
Because I did the math in the class. I'm like, it's about 20 students in. Yeah. He charging this much. Yeah. Rent can only be so much. Yeah. 2 months, man. He might be making a hefty little bit of money.
Yeah.
Jason, I don't want to butcher your last name, and I have no shame saying this.
Akin Rolabu.
Akin Rolabu.
Yeah.
Mr. Jason Akin Rolabu from Anyway IT Solutions.
New Way IT Solutions.
I knew that. I was.
he said Anyway.
I don't know where my mind is. I got a drink right here, so right. We're not supposed to do this and be on the radio and have a drink, but it's one of them days. So I might keep going.
I drink in this joint all the time, so please.
Everyone should drink
from time to time. Yes, Thursday, and I got to start work.
It's healthy.
Monday.
It's healthy.
So, but just to speak about his services, I trusted him so much. I had no problem recommending family go get the same treatment.
You suggested that?
I recommended it to you as well. So, Jason.
Yeah.
Tell us about your business. How did you get started teaching database, SQL, data analysis? Where do you come from?
Yeah.
What are
that
all those
made
things?
You think
yeah.
that you can do that? Because I don't know everybody that, you know, has this hue that knows that they can open up their own school,
right?
Fight that fight,
right,
and get it going.
Right. Okay. I was born here in Washington, D.C. My parents are Nigerian. So it's funny, when I teach, my accent really comes out. Chris will attest to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So don't be surprised, like, when I get amped up, like, the accent starts coming out again. So, but anyway, how did I get started? I got to be honest with you guys. This is going to sound really, really corny, right? But it's the truth. God's honor. Oh, Scout's honor. Okay, so I used to be married. My wife left. Well, my ex-wife left me because at the time I didn't have a lot of money.
Wait.
Yeah.
We're going to boil it down to you not having enough. That's what the reason was? You know that for a fact?
You know, honestly, though, she would say that we just didn't get along, which I don't respect, because I feel as though, like, when you're married, you know, you're married for life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And even when we were doing the whole divorce thing, I told her, look, don't leave. Like, it's not good for the kids. Anyway. So anyway, she leaves or whatever, right? So for like a 3 to 6 month period, I was in depression. Like, hardly anybody knew. I would just stay to myself. And I actually was paying all the bills in the house, but it just wasn't enough because I was paying, because she was going to be a doctor. So I was paying all her bills. I was paying all the bills. I was living in a different state. You know,
wait, how was you making your money at the time?
Yeah. So at the time I was actually a DBA, right? Okay. I was a entry level DBA. I had gone through training and whatnot.
So if you don't know, a DBA is a...
Yeah, database administrator.
Okay.
Right. But the thing is,
I don't know what a database administrator is.
Yeah, like, they get paid a lot of money.
All right, let's keep it there right now. We'll get back into the database.
Yeah, we'll get into that, right? So anyway, so I was in Tennessee and she was in Washington D.C. and paying all the bills, paying rent there, paying. So anyway, cut the long story short. The company I was with, they laid off a whole bunch of people. So I was one of the last people to come in. So there's a whole bunch of layoffs. Not to any fault of my own. I was just, you know, one of the people's, because they over budgeted or whatever, that didn't do a contract well. Anyway, so they gave me like 6 months severance or whatever. So I used that to, you know, to travel a little bit. I went to Miami, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Still in depression. So one day, I'm renting a house. I'm laying on the floor because at the time I didn't have a TV, I didn't have radio, whatnot. So I'm just laying there and just crying inside, cause, you know, kids are gone or whatever, right? So I'm just feeling like I lost everything. So I just said the dumbest prayer. I don't know if you guys are religious, but, you know, it is what it is. But I just said the dumbest prayer, and I just said, God, you know, what would you have me do? And I swear to you, I swear to God, Skaltana, I'm laying there at 2:30 a.m., no TV, no nothing, on the floor, mattress on the floor. I had nothing else. Out of nowhere, to the right of me, I just heard two words from nowhere. And it said, just like this, it said, teach SQL. As soon as that happens, a wind goes through the room, goes into my body, and throws me out of bed. That's how I started.
It threw you out of bed?
No, seriously, it did. There was a wind that came into the room, went through my nose. I'm telling you, this is real talk. It goes through my nose and goes through my lungs, and just, it felt like it just pushed me out of bed, like, all right, let's get going. And that's how I started.
Are you a religious person?
Am I religious?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. If I was religious before then, I'm religious now. You know what I mean? But I am religious because a lot of things have happened after, you know, that whole incident. Even after I got that, I heard those two words. And it's very confident, but very quiet. I can't explain it. Right. And it wasn't something that happened inside of me. It was something like, as clear as I can hear you, I heard that. And then like a couple of weeks later, I'm laying in the bed again on the floor. I wake up, I look in my eyes, I open my eyes, and I see two things standing in front of me. Like, they were like two, I wouldn't say spirits, but they were like, I think they were angels. I just didn't see their heads, but they're like clairescent. Like, you can see through them. So as soon as I see it, I yell, and stood there. Yeah, I was freaked out, right? So I'm serious. This is true talk. So they stood there long enough for me to get up, run to the bathroom, turn on the light, and they were still there. When I turned on the light, they were gone. So it was almost in a sense, I was like, it was the message I got from that was, somebody's looking out or something. I don't know. So anyway, so after that. So I'm serious. So after that, after I got that first message, this is true talk. I'm not. I don't have any reason.
No, I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
That
yeah. So
he was gonna ask, "Do you do any drugs?"
No, I wasn't. No, I have a. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, so after that experience, like the next day, I took action. That's what I did. So I didn't know what to do, right? So I just I went to Home Depot, started cutting out a whole bunch of cardboard signs or whatever, and I was just writing start. Oracle training, just with different marker colors and just putting them everywhere on the road and everything. So at the time, I had like 2 months. I had like maybe like a month and a half worth of money left in my account, you know, because, you know, you're paying all these kind of bills before I was out, right? Because inside of me, I was like, I just don't want to go back and get another job because I was done. I was done doing that, right? So I said, all right, I got a month and a half. I got to make something happen. So now class is going to start November 5th. That's what I put on the board. So right now it's October like 1st, right? So I start putting all the signs out. So I got like 35 days.
Did you know how to teach whatever sequel?
I'm getting to that, right?
Okay.
I'm getting to that. So anyway, so I put the signs out or whatever, and now it's October 5th. Nobody's called. October 7th, the worst thing happened. Somebody actually did call, right? Then the worst thing happened 2 days after. Somebody called and paid. Oh. The reason that was bad was because I didn't have anywhere to put them.
Wait, right? You had no place to
put them? I didn't have any place. I didn't have nothing. I was broke. I didn't have anything, right? And somebody actually put money in my pocket. So I needed the money. So right. I said, fuck this. Like, we curse, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. Go ahead. Right. Say what you want to say.
So I'm just like, dude, like, yeah, like, I got to take this money, but at the same time, I got to offer a service, right? So what do? I go on Craigslist, right? So I'm looking for anybody that wants to, like, sublet their spot with me, right? So I was looking, so I found a spot. It wasn't enough money it wasn't big enough for me to get in. So I just spent, like, another $700 to break down the wall, clean it up and whatnot. So as time went on, like, days, people started calling. So as somebody paid, I would go buy a computer. If somebody else paid, I'd buy, like, more computers and so on and so forth. So everything was perfect. Everything was – all the tables, all the chairs, all the computers, everything was set up the day before class was supposed to start. And that's how everything started. So my first class, I was only teaching students for, like, $1,000 a head. So I went from being broke to 2 months later, I had $17,000 in my pocket. Mm. The rest is history.
Wait. So Mr. Friends, I got to talk to you for 2 seconds.
Yeah. To me?
Yeah, because I don't know if you noticed. So we kind of have like a reoccurring thing happening here.
On the show.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
I want to say this for any of our listeners. We talk to a lot of people who are essentially on the come up. They're hustling, or they've overcome their struggle. They beat their obstacle and they have a successful business running, or they just got over some hump in life. What I've noticed is that spirit of I'm going to fix this plane while I'm flying it.
Yeah.
Like, there is no waiting around. Yeah. I put out the signs before I even had the spot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. So
you notice that same thing?
Yeah, for the most part, I do. What's most interesting to me is that it's not planned. Like, we get guests because we're interested in them for whatever reason. Yeah. But usually the story follows a similar.
Yeah. So you asked the question that did I know how to teach or whatnot.
Right.
So when I was going through the training, there was a guy that taught me a long time ago. So I went through the training and I was at, you know, I just, because before I went through the training, I was doing like security and all that good stuff or whatnot. So I went through the training. So this is my last thing. So I was like, look, if this doesn't work, don't know what else I'm going to do. So I put my 100% into the training, right? And then after, because his classes were like 4 months, or four or five months. And then after that training was complete, then he asked for volunteers to teach, to help be his assistant. So I just got the chance to just sit back, because he was pretty good. So he was teaching, and then I'll just stand in the back. If students had problems with their computers or any errors on the computers, I would fix it. And that's how I learned. But unbeknownst to me, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just doing it out of the goodness of my heart. I didn't know what I was doing. Right. I was the only person that ever volunteered with him, because every time he went to class, I was there, right? So I guess somebody upstairs was watching, because there was like, look, because now that I look back on it, I was like, this dude's not doing anything special. He just got a few computers. He just connects it. And everything that he was teaching, like, because I had been with him for so long, and everything that he told me to do, I did. Right, so it just gave me the expertise, unbeknownst to me, to teach. So when I was laying on the floor, right, and I see somebody, when I heard that voice, obviously somebody was like, you got what it takes. I didn't know it. So, but it was getting to the point where I had like, dude, I literally had like probably about 30 days of money left in my account, or else I was done, finished. So when I got that money, boy... Boy, it was cool. And then ever since then, you know, it was just, you know, we just started growing a little bit, you know. Then, you know, a year after, we moved to a different spot. A year after, open up Atlanta. A year after, open up Virginia. Now we're in London now, so doing our thing.
Let me ask you this question, just so anybody listening understands. Quickly, you know, as fast as you can, explain what a DBA is.
Yeah. Okay. So a DBA is, they're the highest paid IT professionals right now on the market. All they do is manage a company's data. So 90% of companies will go bankrupt if they lose their data. So say, for instance, you go to a hospital. It's all data driven, right? You know, so your name, your social, you know, like graphs or whatever stuff that they do, right? It's all inside some kind of a database. A database is nothing more than a base for data. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So your job is just to manage that data, right? It's just to make, you're not doing much work, to be quite honest, mm-hmm. but you just want to make sure that the database is up and running. And they have a whole bunch of database providers out there. You have Oracle. I'm sure everybody knows about that. You have AWS that's on the come up as well. You know what I mean? So
Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon, right? It's, you make a lot of money starting, man. Like, if you do what you're supposed to do, you can make between $100,000 to $150,000. I just had a guy, he came to me when he was 18. He just got offered a position. He's 19 or 20 now. Just got offered a position, $75,000. The reason why he got so low is because motherfucker's 19.
Right. They know he doesn't have any experience.
Yeah, they know he ain't, you know what I mean? But they like the skills, though. You know what I'm saying? So he got offered the position. You know, so I have another chick from Atlanta. Her name is Kiara Hepburn. She just got offered a position as well. So, yeah, we churning them out, man.
That's good. I don't know if we could give out people's full names.
Yeah,
but,
go ahead.
No, don't, this is people's. Hey, I have a few questions.
All right. Yeah.
I want to rewind a little bit, though.
Yeah.
So you said that you were married.
Yeah.
And your wife wanted to leave you.
No, she did leave me.
Right. Well, yeah. Right. But she left you, and you say it's because you weren't making enough.
Correct.
But you said that she said that it was for another reason.
No. Yeah, she's, I think that's how she would justify it.
Right. It's, but so how are you so sure that it was because you weren't making enough?
Well, all right. So check this out, right? So I remember this one time I took her out to my boy's house. You know what I mean? And funny enough, like, my boy's not, that same guy's not really doing so well right now.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I'm doing much, but anyway, it is what it is, right? So I took her to, he lived in around the Glen Burnie area. He had a real big house.
Mm-hmm.
So they was having like a house party or whatever, right? So everybody was there. Everybody was happy. You know what I'm saying? Big ass house. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to, but at the time, we was living in an apartment. Me and my ex-wife, we were living in Laurel, right? So when we was there, right, I heard her say, it was like she was real slick with it, right? She was real quiet about it, right? So she was like, she kind of looked at him, right? And she was like, she thought I didn't hear her, right? But she was like, yeah, I like him. He got money.
Hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was like, you know what I mean? Like, so when I heard that shit, right, so I was like, you know what? Yeah. You know what I mean? And her mom, because she was Ethiopian, and Ethiopian women, yeah, I'm a sucker for, you know, cute girls, you know what I mean?
We so, all are.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I'm a sucker for cute girls, but but you know what I mean? Like, her mom would come through, and, you know, she was just from the jump, like, was just against me or whatnot. But I have a funny feeling that if I had more money at the time,
her mom would have
been way more supportive, you know what I mean? And she can say that, you know what I mean, it was we just didn't get along, like, different cultures, it's all bullshit. You got money, man. One thing I noticed, man, if you got money as a man, all that other stuff is just bullshit.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing.
That's sad.
Yeah.
It is, but
yeah,
that's a whole nother show, I guess.
But no, that's this show. Tell them.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, though, like, I've come to realize, like we can't really, you know, look, I'm a man. You got women out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. What do we like as men? For the most part, right?
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about just the act?
No, in general, right? Like, what do we like, right? We like women, like, you know, cute, you know what I'm saying? Nice body, pretty, right?
Right.
Look, women at the end of the day, man, they want a nigga with money.
Right.
Fuck the bullshit, you know what I'm saying? Like, think about it, right? Look at freaking Kylie Jenner, right?
Half a billion? Oh, she's a billionaire.
Yeah, but who she with? She with that...
Travis Scott? But she don't need his money?
But here's the thing, though. He got money, though.
But she don't need it.
I know she don't need it, but she ain't going to be with little JoJo.
You never met Jamal, obviously, because Jamal bust a move.
That's right. the point I'm trying to make is, you know what I mean? Like, women, one thing I've noticed about women is, for the most part, not all. Let's get that straight. Like, but women, they want money. But you know what they call it? Security.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Does that affect your opinion of women when you date or how you view them? Because you've had the experience, right, where you were married and you believe that the reason you aren't married anymore, at least is because of the fact that you didn't have any money. Now you do have money.
Yeah.
Doesn't it make you a little, it makes you question the person's, the woman's intentions when they meet you, right? Yeah. Like, would you still feel the way you feel about me if I don't have money?
I don't give a fuck about that shit, man.
Well, I mean, do you want to be married again?
No. Yeah. Well, why don't you care?
I don't give a fuck about that shit. Let me tell you what. Okay. So, it's like this, right? If a woman comes at me, right, she wants to date me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I don't... First of all, I'm not really... I'm not a flashy guy like that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But when she gets to know me, she gonna realize a couple of things. You know what I'm saying? But one thing about me is... If I'm going to seriously date a woman, the standard that she holds me to, I'm going to hold her to the same standard. I think that's the problem nowadays. A lot of guys don't hold women to the same standard. You know what I'm saying? If you're expecting me to be a millionaire, right?
Uh-oh.
Well, I was like, what the hell is that?
So if you're holding me to that standard, yeah? I'm going to hold you to that same standard.
What standard is that?
All right, cool. So if you expect me to be a millionaire, right? As a man, I don't expect you to be a millionaire per se, but I do expect you to have your shit together. You see what I'm saying?
So, right? Jason, what's the bag like?
What's the bag like?
I mean, obviously we talking finances.
Yeah.
And you don't have to say anything. You know, you don't got to get too specific. I don't want every girl in the world chasing you because you know how much money you make.
Yeah.
But if I ran four schools, I'm teaching network engineering. Best case scenario, everything is going right with every school.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
What does it look like?
Best case scenario. So we're not talking to you specifically, but you do have a business.
Yeah.
You do. I don't know, you know, what you expect.
Yeah.
Do you expect like 75% occupancy? I don't know what it looks like for you.
So you think everything is
pumping the way it needs smooth. To be pumping. Yeah.
You talk at least half a mil every 2 months.
Get the fuck out of here. Half a mil every 2 months.
Yeah.
All right, I'm. Yeah. You got what?
If everything is running smoothly, you talk half a mil every 2 months.
So not to get off the because I appreciate that you make a lot of money, but there's a lot for me. It's like more to it than that, right?
What are you?
Right, like, I mean that's cool, but that's not who you are, right?
Correct.
Like, because you weren't that, but you were still who you are correct. Before you were making that
correct.
Money. And
correct.
For me, like, the process of getting to the point where you are today, I would like to believe it hasn't changed you, right?
Absolutely. So One thing, so I went to a council seminar, Dan Pena. I don't know if you guys know about it. Spanish guy.
Okay.
He's like a billionaire or whatever, like cool dude, like real old or whatever. But he's
cool. On YouTube.
Yeah, he's on YouTube. Dan Pena. P-E-N-A, right? Real good guy. And he always says
Pena, I'm sure.
Pena. Right. So right. So one thing I got from him was the road to success is always under construction. You see what I'm saying? It never ends. Like the grind never ends. Like you, like business is just, it is what it is. It's just ups and downs and ups and downs, right? But the key thing is, if you're trying to be successful, right? One thing I've noticed about people is this, right? For you to be successful, people are not willing to put in the pain. It always comes with pain. It's always pain. If you're trying to do A to B, it's always pain. It's always pain.
Where was your pain?
My pain was, I didn't have any pain.
What? You just said it's always pain.
But let me put it this way, right? When I was coming up, right, to trying to be a DBA, right?
Right.
Right. See, I'm from Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
The pain that motherfuckers over here like think is pain, it's not fucking pain.
You were born in Africa.
No, I was born here.
Okay.
But I was raised in Africa. Like, my formative years was in Africa, right?
Okay, okay.
And my parents weren't rich or whatnot, right? So I knew some kind of pain. They were okay.
Right.
A little, like, underclass a little bit, but we were good. But I've seen Africa. I've seen poverty. This isn't fucking poverty. If you, even if you live in Southeast DC, this isn't fucking poverty. You have no fucking idea. So the thing about it is, when an African comes to America, we fucking take over because we're just like, oh shit, man, this is crazy. Like we get free government gonna give us this, we get free housing, you got Section 8, oh shit, and then you got the internet now too, oh hell no, you ain't gotta worry about electricity being cut off, we ain't gotta worry about mosquitoes, we ain't gotta worry about where our next meal's gonna come.
Wait, you said mosquito?
Yeah, man, look, listen, in America you can always get a meal no matter what. You're gonna get a meal. You stand on the corner, you make $5 in like 2 hours. You go to McDonald's, you're good for the day. In Nigeria, it's not like that. Nigeria, you can't even buy a house on credit. We ain't got nothing like that. It's cash and carry. Everything is cash and carry. So it's like, from the moment you get to Nigeria, it's all a hustle. You know, ain't nobody come to save your ass. So when a lot of Africans come over here, you'll notice that a lot of Africans do well because all we know is hustle. We're not waiting for fucking reparations. That's another thing.
Wait, I feel like you're taking a shot at my people, Jason.
We ain't waiting for no fucking reparations.
Wait. So I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I think the difference is, so I grew up in South Florida. A lot of my formative years were spent in South Florida.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Overtown, South Florida, which is a bad area, a ghetto, essentially.
Yeah,
you dig
what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
My parents are teachers. Yeah. So they tell me, you know, you listen to them talk, they say what's missing from that community is hope. Yeah. So I think what happens is, an African American, you grow up in a place where you kind of like hear about white people cheating or getting over on you.
Right.
And you see everybody in your community, they going to jail, this, that, and the third.
Yeah, yeah.
So that hope is gone.
Right.
But if you're from Africa and you're coming over here, you're coming over here to hustle.
Right.
So it's just that little...
Right.
Difference.
So here's my thing about that, right? Let me ask you a question real quick. Do you think I have a problem with slavery?
Do I think who?
You think I got a problem with slavery?
Oh, so you going to say Africa, slavery was a choice? <It's>, you about to say slavery is a choice?
I don't know if you think.
Let me.
JC, you got the room. Think over it.
Yo, let me put it to y'all like this, man. Slavery was bad. Slavery was horrible. The people that committed those crimes will get their just due, whether in this life or the other. Make no mistake about it, because it was heinous, right? But the question I have is this, right? Black people, right? Who are you really angry at? Who should you be angry at? Was it white people who bought you fair and square? Or was it the people that sold you to these white people?
Oh shit, man. There you go.
I don't know. I don't even want to get into to all of those things, because
I want to get into it. Fuck it.
Alright, well, go ahead, you do your thing.
No, my thing is, right?
You're basically suggesting you need to own your power. You can't give your power to anybody else.
Not just that. It's just, listen, this is what I believe. Whatever you choose, not to honor and to subdue, right, you're going to lose. If you choose not to honor your own people, and you choose to sell them away for some guns, that's why we're living the way we live now.
Guns and mirrors.
And little bullshit.
And mirrors.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were sold for mirrors too.
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? I just look at it like this, man. Slavery was a bad thing. But from the white person's point of view, we bought you fair and square from your fathers who chose to sell you. All things, this is not all. Some people were actually captured, illegal, and all that good stuff. But here's the deal, though. My bigger point is this. We're in 2019, right? No excuse. And here's the thing. Instead of hating white people so much, and yes, they do crooked stuff. Yes, it's unfair. Yes, just like the college scandal where, you know, people
she paying, yeah, to get
she
in.
Paying to get in and all that good stuff. My thing is this, right? Why are black people not as vicious as white people? Why are we not as vicious as they?
That's not our spirit.
But see, here we go. Then we can't complain.
I'm thinking about Not Your Negro, the James Baldwin documentary, yeah. And he said in there, he was saying, you know, one thing about being in this position, being black, we know you. Y'all, okay. It's almost like y'all kind of discount us and throw us away.
Okay.
We've been subject of all your bad policies, bad actions. Because of that,
right,
we know how you get down.
Right.
So, like, I get what you're saying. Right.
Like my thing is...
Can I interject real quick?
Go ahead, yeah. Jamal.
I'm going to say this, and I feel the points that you're making, but at the same time, there was psychological and chemical warfare taking place. So what you're seeing is the results of that. And institutionalized psychological torture that led people to feel inferior. And we're seeing the effects of that. And also, like, the Willie Lynch laws and all these other things that, like, were instituted to keep a mass of people feeling inferior and hating themselves and others.
I got you. So here's my retort to that. Okay. So Marcus Garvey, right? His thing was fuck America.
Mm.
Let's go back to Africa and rebuild Africa to have our own spot. How come we as a people never did that?
Colonialism added new borders to Africa too, right? Like the war in Nigeria, Biafra, right?
Correct.
So colonialism was fucking up Africa after slavery was even happening, and it's still affecting Africa. True. So to say, and everybody is disjointed from their lineage, so they don't really know where they come from.
Correct.
Yeah, so to say, okay, we're going to go back to Africa, where? Correct. How? What language are you going to speak?
Correct.
Who are you going to align with? I'm not saying that that's not an option, but that's a far-fetched to just throw it out there as if it would be an easy solution.
Oh, no.
Places we talking about in Africa don't lack the infrastructure, and that same system that you say, if they were to sell us out, a lot of those leaders are still selling their people out to colonial powers to this day. So I want to be clear on that. A lot of the world's innovations come from black Americans.
Got you. So
innovations.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about it.
Culturally, scientifically, and otherwise, a lot of the world's innovations come from black Americans.
Yo, can we give yourself an applause? I know you back there working that.
So here's my thing, though. Here's my thing. In 2019, right, I kind of feel like there is no black person in 2019 that has an excuse not to succeed. I can't see it. I just can't. Especially with the advent of the internet. I'm getting into another business right now, right? E-commerce, right? Through Amazon. And I've already mapped out how to make $15 million a year. And it's real easy.
Wait.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, dude, like with the internet, there's really no barriers. You can sell shit to somebody, you know, direct to consumer and make money. Like you can get educated. Like if you come to a school like mine or to any other school, the average person can make $100,000 within 4 months. There's really no excuse. Listen, I kind of feel like as black people, we need to realize that, listen, white people respect skills, not necessarily race. If you have skills...
I don't know if they respect skill even.
It's skills, man. Trust me, I've been there. It's skills.
If I feel you, like it's power.
Nah, listen. If you got a white person who owns a company, right, and they got the choice to pick between a white guy and a black guy, they're gonna pick at the end of the day. Yeah, their preference is gonna be white for sure. And I don't even see that as racism. That's just, yo, I'm comfortable because he's white, and that's cool. I'm cool with that. But what I'm saying is, but at the end of the day, he's gonna pick the guy that's more skilled. Who's gonna help me solve this problem?
They may pick the more skilled one, but more than likely, and that's proven, that the black person will be paid less than the white person they would choose, and that's factual.
That's cool. That's cool. That's why it's just a stepping stone. So you go there, you prove yourself, right? A year or two after that, you go to another job and make more money and stack the chips. So right now, I got dudes right now who came to my school, right? They were doing security. They was making like 20 bucks an hour. Come to find out, one of my boys just called me and they said, yo, Jamar Jackson just got a job and Siobhan Briscoe just got a job, right? So Jamar Jackson now makes six figures working two jobs back to back.
Wait, you make six figures on both jobs, you're saying?
It makes six figures, two jobs. I trained a guy. He used to be a banker making $30,000 a year, right? Today, Wale, he makes $150,000 one job, $150,000 another job, but he has a kick. He has a kicker, though. Both of those jobs work from home. He's never seen the inside of an office. So the point I'm trying to make is this. I hear you, Chris, when you say, like, sometimes African Americans believe that it's hopeless. But there's always hope if you have skills.
Nah, I don't know if there's always. I mean, I'm thinking of Overtown. Right now in my head, if any of y'all been to South Florida, you've been through Overtown, you know how bad it looks. I'm thinking of Baltimore. Baltimore, to me, feels like if I was raised there, I'd be inspired to be a drug dealer. Yeah. It's fucking sad.
Yeah, it is sad. Yeah.
It's fucking sad. And I don't know if people see anything else.
Yeah.
So there is hope, but it's like, I think back to the times of my life when I was doing dumb shit, right? We used to print up money, take it to Six Flags, and get the money, you know, give a 50 to my man who worked in the funnel cake stand and get the change and keep the stand.
Yeah.
When I was doing dumb shit, I wasn't necessarily, I didn't have a hope. I didn't understand the power that I had within myself. So it's real easy to go do something fucking foolish and you get caught up in the end.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. One thing, if you guys don't get anything from this, just get this part. I don't care where you are. Like Bill Gates says, it's not your fault if you was born into poverty, but it is your fault if you die in poverty. That is your fault. So I don't care if you live in Baltimore, if you live in South Florida, whatever. If you're trying to get to point A to point B, the question you always have to ask yourself is, are you willing to go through the pain to get from point A to B? Because there's going to be some pain. I went through pain when I was coming through, right? Because I had to learn new skills, right? Because I wasn't using my brain for many years. But I had to sit my ass there. I had to humble myself and just go back to school. It wasn't college or whatever. And that's another thing about college. College is bullshit. But just complete bullshit, right? But my thing is,
Wait. Why you say college is bullshit?
Because think about it. It's all a hustle.
I do believe it's a hustle.
It's all a hustle. Y'all tell me this, right? Why is it that when you die, the two things you can't, well, not even die, if you claim bankruptcy, right? Two things you can't write off regardless is what? Taxes, college loans. Because why? They need workers in the system to keep that system running. You know what I'm saying? So you're in debt after you graduate from college. The average person that graduates from college, from a decent college, like right now, Howard University, if you go to Howard University, it's going to run you about between $45,000 and $50,000 per year. By the time you're done, that's 4 years. You're talking about you're in a whole $200,000, right? Fine, you're going to get grants. You're going to get student aid, whatnot. So let's cut that in half. So now you're in a whole $100,000. But now you're starting off at $35,000. That's before taxes. That's before taxes. Now, for the next between 2 and 5 years, you got to get that car. You know what I mean? You got to get the car. You got to live somewhere. Don't be so stupid where you're going to buy a house. So how you expect, and that $100,000 has got interest on it. So the average person that graduates college right now, they're making $35,000 a year before taxes, but they're in a hole for about $70,000 to $80,000. How do you think they're going to get out of that?
So we got a Howard student in here.
I'm a Howard.
Oh, listen. I disagree with that.
Okay.
I'm gonna say I disagree with that, but I thank you for having a strong point. I think college is, if you want to work out in a, let's say, a boutique gym, right? You go to the gym because you want someone to hold you to a certain standard, right? So college is an agreement with the outside community. We hold you to this certain standard that we've educated you at this standard. Yeah. And then for you, you've been held to a certain standard to learn something to a certain degree.
Correct.
With that being said,
yes,
it doesn't mean you can't do push-ups in your house. It doesn't mean that you can't ride a cycle in your house. Right. If you hungry for education, you can get education.
But here's the thing I don't understand about that, Chris. College is about knowledge acquisition, correct?
Right.
But you don't get any knowledge when you get out of college, though.
When you're getting out of college?
When you gotta, look,
there's more knowledge in doing. We agree
exactly,
there.
Exactly.
We agree there.
So my thing is this, right? I look at everything as zeros and ones. It's all about what makes the most sense. So you can spend 4 years in college and make $35,000. That's your payoff. By the time you're done with college, you're going to make $35,000.
If you went to school for criminal justice.
$35,000.
Maybe.
So say you spent 4 years to make $70,000.
But you're in debt $100,000.
You're in debt $100,000.
Well,
that's before tax.
Hold
on.
Go ahead.
But check this out, though. Or you can go to a preparatory school or a trade school for like 1 to 6 months. The shit's going to cost you like maybe max $7,000. But when you're done, if you pick the right trade course right, you make $100,000. You're in a whole $7,000. Which one makes more sense?
So, just to back up, just a tinge, when you said that the only thing you couldn't write off is taxes and student loans.
Yes.
My understanding is because it's a debt to the government, not necessarily, you know what I mean? Like, you just can't write off a debt that you have to the government.
Hold up.
Second, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Because when I said earlier, and I've just met you about 45 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So when I said earlier that it seemed like the money hadn't changed you, and I don't know, this is just based on the conversation, the brief time that I've heard you speak.
Yeah.
It seems like it has. And I'll say that only because your perspective seems like it changed since because you weren't at one point you said you were broke, or at least your wife thought you were broke.
Yeah.
And considering everything you said about your experiences in Nigeria and coming here and all the opportunities here, if you were living by that standard, I guess, then you would have never been, like, you would have got here and gotten to where you are now.
Correct.
But it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know.
So, I've always been motivated by money.
Right.
Always.
Clearly.
Always, ever since I was young.
Right.
I've always wanted
money. Is that culturally? Is that a cultural thing? Because I noticed, like, Nigerians have it a lot of times.
Yeah.
And sometimes
For me, I don't like the broad. And I say this on every show when we speak broadly, right? I don't like the broad assigning things broadly across a certain race of people or a certain culture.
Because
it's not all Nigerians don't got money.
Of course, we don't mean every single Nigerian.
I can't even say I've been necessarily motivated by money. It's not that. I think it's more, I've been motivated. I just don't like to be. I've seen poverty before, and I know what it does to families. Personally, it's hit me. Not only it hit me personally, but also hit my parents and my mom and dad. They still together, but I've known hard times a little bit, right?
Right.
So I guess what I'm motivated by is to provide. I'm a provider. I'm a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I get married again, which I'm supposed to be getting married, like,
what you using the word supposed to? We ain't gonna use that.
Nah, I do have a fiance, right? Like we getting married this year. She's doing a thing in CCTV, right? But the last thing I'll ever want is for my wife to look at me as anything less than a man. The last thing I ever want is for my kids to look at me as anything less than a man. You see what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily that I'm motivated by money. It's just that people are human beings. They're just going to look at you a certain way if you just don't have it. So it's not money per se.
It sounds like you were scarred
by
that experience with your wife, your ex-wife.
Well, No,
it just, and you feel like she didn't respect you as a man because you didn't have money.
Yeah.
And now you have money, you think money is making you a man.
No, it's not even necessarily that money is making me a man. It's just that if I wanted to be real, like, it's like you don't want to leave yourself exposed to the vultures.
I agree.
On earth. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and you read the Bible, it says, look, a man's wealth is like a fortress. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's not about, for me personally, it's not about the money per se. Like, I my greatest joy is, like, students that come to my school is seeing them going from nothing to something. That gives me the greatest joy, not the check. But most importantly, what really motivates me is the overcoming. It's like going from nothing to something. That's my ultimate motivation. So I've experienced where I had nothing to where I have a little something, right? So that whole arc of my wife leaving me to where I am right now, and I still have a long way to go, right? In a sense, that's kind of who I am. Like, that's what really, you know, like, yeah, let's do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that going from A to B. And, you know, I'm proud of the pain that I had to go through to get to where I am. You know what I'm saying? Chris says I'm really busy, but to be quite honest, really not. But
wait.
Check this out though. All the work that I put in over the past few years has gotten me to where I am right now, where I could take a break. But Chris thinks I'm busy. Yes, I have schools in four different yeah, I do. But what I'm saying is, if you saw my life right now, like, I barely do any work. Like, I might work maybe 20 hours a week, and I think that's a lot of work. But I'm working smarter because of all the pain I had to go through to develop myself to be this way. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So my message to people is, if you're trying to get to point A to point B, you got to go through that pain. Like, you just got to go through that pain.
Honestly, I was thrown
when
you started to get into your opinions and comparisons of people of African descent, I guess, and people of
let's talk about that.
African American
descent. Well, I want to talk about your schedule because
Because when I wanted to not get into that, we was like, we get into that. I was thrown because Chris, you made me lose my train of thought. But let me try to get it back. I was thrown a little bit because it felt like, again, you were coming from a place of, now I'm in a I don't know if you had that opinion when you were so-called low, right?
Opinion was that?
Of comparing Africans,
correct,
Native Africans to, correct, African Americans.
Correct.
So and so before you started making the money that you're making now, you would have to tell me if you felt the same way.
Okay.
Because then not only would you be, from my opinion, would you be have to question African Americans, you would say to yourself, well, if I'm a Native African, why am I not taking advantage of all these resources? Because apparently you weren't.
Correct. So I think, and Chris said something about mindset. When he was talking about where he grew up in Florida, right?
Right.
I think the mindset between the mindset between a regular African dude and an African American dude is completely different. Completely different. When we come to America, we're just like, fucking hell, like, this is fucking beautiful.
Right.
Like, dude, you take somebody from Africa, the first couple of days, you know what they're watching on TV? Commercials. That's all they're doing, watching commercials. We're like, what the fuck is this? Like, it's commercials. And then we come over here, it's like, yo, we don't want to go back to where we came from, where we living in huts. Oh, there's some places in Africa where they still live in the huts. Trust me.
It's big cities all in Africa, though. Don't let's make
no mistake.
Metropolitan areas in Africa.
Hold on for a second. There's some places.
No, you're 100% right.
Hold on for a second. Yeah. Hold on. Let me tell y'all. Let me put y'all to some game in Africa, right? Africa, especially Nigeria, right? I can only speak for Nigeria, right? It's a dog-eat-dog world. 99% of people... Listen, Nigeria, right, was just registered in some world database or whatever, right, as the poorest nation in the world. Nigeria. And we're not even the biggest.
Wait,
let me be more specific. They said we have the fastest amount of people entering into poverty than any place in the world. So watch this. You might say that there's some metropolitan places in Africa. I agree. There are. Just like everywhere else. Everywhere has some good spots. But in Nigeria, that's the one half of a 1%. 99% of the people are poor. And when I say poor, I'm talking about poor. Y'all don't know anything about poverty. This is what I mean by that. You can hire a driver in Nigeria right now to drive you around 24 hours a day at your beck and call for $300 a month.
Right.
He's got a family.
Right.
So this is basically slavery. Right. You see what I'm saying? So when you get an African who wins the lottery and he comes into America, and this motherfucker sees Starbucks, this motherfucker going crazy.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm. So what I'm saying is you saying that you understood all of that.
Yes.
This is where you came from.
Yeah.
And then you came here.
Yes.
And it didn't. For based on the story you told, you wasn't getting it until your wife played you in front of your man.
Correct.
Then she asked for a divorce.
Correct.
And you were crying for 3 months on your floor.
Correct.
And then a voice.
Correct.
Told you to go in a database.
Correct.
And then you started to get into, and that's how you started getting it. So it wasn't based on the story that
Correct.
You told me. It wasn't your motivation from coming from the bottom. It wasn't you coming here and seeing the all the resources and the opportunity here.
Yeah.
It was you being rejected, and then a voice telling you to go down this path. None of that to me is motivated from coming from the bottom. You understand? I feel what you're saying. Now, even the skills that you learn to be able to teach people and you know, your experiences supported you, but I don't hear the hustle in what you did.
Okay. So ever since I was young, ever since I was born here, went to Africa under my formative years, came back when I was like 11. So I've been here since I was 11, right? I'm 40 now. But ever since I was young, I've always been motivated. I went to the military. I was the best Marine. I won all the damn marathons and all that. I've always been motivated to be the best.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But when I went to college and all that, I was always looking for a path. I was always doing some kind of hustle. I was always, you know, doing something.
Right.
Just trying to get to that thing, get to that next level.
Right.
Like we all do, right?
Yeah.
Then I got to the next hustle, which was IT. Got to Oracle, right? But it wasn't until my ex left me.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That it took the wetness under my ears. It took it away. Like, I was always trying to get better.
Right.
But this really propelled me to be the person I want to be. But from when I was young, I've always been into something.
How long have you been teaching database?
Going on 5 years now.
So you were 35.
Yeah.
And I do have an issue with some of the things that you said. And the reason I have an issue is because you presented it like you saw the opportunity in America that Black Americans don't see and take advantage of.
Yeah, right.
And you took advantage of it.
Right.
But that's not... the story that you explain it isn't different than a whole lot of people's story, right? Which is they trying to figure it out.
Right.
They're going through life. They're going in the military. They taking this class. They taking this course.
Right.
And they don't even know that these things that they're experiencing is going to pay off in the future. But they're trying. They're trying to figure it out, right? And something happened in their life to create an opportunity where all of those experiences that they had pays off for them.
Right.
And sometimes it pays off in different ways.
Right.
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 And it seems like a similar thing for you, right? Like you had a lot of experiences and then something really bad happened.
Correct.
And your opportunity was a voice telling you that you should take this path. And you did. And then all your experiences paid off because you had the tools to be successful.
Correct.
Again, none of that had anything to do with you coming from the mud. You know what I'm saying? Like, your work ethic, possibly.
Right.
Two seconds?
No, hold on. Your work ethic, possibly.
Right.
And your willingness to experience a lot of different things.
Right.
Not being afraid. You know what I mean? Like, that grit.
Right.
Possibly.
Right.
But that's no different to me
right.
than a lot of the Black American experience. Sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't. But that doesn't, so, to me, that doesn't discount the effort.
So my thing is this, right? Anybody that's in the mud right now and they're trying to get to a place where...
what like, advice would you give them?
My advice is this, right?
Because it ain't to, like, wait for a voice.
No.
Okay.
That, well, you never know.
You never know, right, yeah, right. But I'm just saying, but that wouldn't be your advice.
That's not going to be the advice.
Right.
My thing is this, right? You've got to be able to endure the pain.
Absolutely.
If you're trying to get from point A to B, and the second thing is, oh my God, it's hard work.
Absolutely.
Like, don't think, like, see, on Instagram, everybody wants to be a boss and all that bullshit, right? I tell you this, man, if you're trying to get into, look, I've been by myself for 5 years, no rope, never took a paycheck, right? Listen, all I can say is this, it's hard. It can Absolutely. Be hard. It's hard. So anybody that's trying to get from the mud, you whatever it is that you're trying to do, whether you want to go to be an actor, whatever you want to learn a new skill, if you're not willing to go through that pain, you got to go through that pain. I don't know why I keep saying that. You got to go through that pain. You got to go through that pain. And if you go through that pain and you give it 100% effort, 100% of the time, you're gonna get out of it, right? That's my advice I would give people. You've just got to go through that pain. Because, listen, I don't care what it is that you're trying to do. Even if it means just cleaning your house up, right? Let's say you're not a tidy person, right? If you would just... The reason why people don't accomplish things in life is because they are not willing to go through the pain.
Absolutely.
That's it. There's no such thing as procrastination or I'm not passionate about it. All that shit is bullshit. If you're fat and you're trying to lose weight right now, the reason why you're still overweight right now is because you're not willing to go through that pain. And the other side of the pain is just, man, listen. Man, I have months where I've seen some good money, man, and it's a beautiful thing, right? But if I wasn't willing to go through that pain in the beginning, I'm telling you, man, like, I would still be miserable. I would still be, it is what it is, you know what I mean? So
earlier, I asked you, what pain?
Oh, the pain.
And you said, oh, I really didn't go through no pain. And then you start talking about your experiences in Africa.
No, what I'm saying is, when I was coming up, right?
Yeah.
The pain that it takes for you to succeed, right?
Yeah.
The daily grind, I didn't see it as a daily grind because I came from Africa. So it was a joke to me. So what people, you know what I'm saying, like going through the course, like people that come to my school, they got to go through a course. And every week we give them projects, homeworks, and all that good stuff, right?
Right,
you
got
to
sit
your ass there and just do the work on the computer, right?
Right.
To me, that shit was fun, right? I was just like, oh, shit, because you get 8 projects, right? Once you're done, the dude that taught me, he was like, look, do these 8 projects, you're going to make $100,000. So my mind, I was like, okay, cool. After each project, I'm one step closer to what, $100,000. I didn't even see the pain.
Right.
I didn't give a fuck about that. All I cared about was like, dude, I'm gonna get the fuck out of this security business. I'm gonna sit in the cushy ass office under the AC, make $100,000. I didn't know I was going through the pain. I didn't feel like pain, but now that I look back on it, that was the pain that I go through, that I guess I went through it, just right. Like Kobe Bryant, right? Like, he's, you know, he's famous for, you know, waking up at 4 a.m., shooting, like, making 1,000 makes, right?
Yeah.
It's painful, right? But because he loved it so much, he was just concerned about being the best, right?
Right.
So it's just like, is that pain to him? You know what I mean? Like, it's painful to the outside looking in. Like, I can't shoot 1,000 shots. That's not my thing. So if I was trying to do that, that would be incredibly painful. But to him, it was nothing. And that's the same thing for me. When I was coming up, I was just so sick and tired of being broke. I said, look, all this other bullshit that I got to sit down there and my back aching just to solve all these problems on the computer, that was nothing. You see what I'm saying? But that mindset, going back to what you were saying, that mindset was my experience in Africa. Because they really go through pain over there.
So I guess let Chris, yeah. I know Chris is trying to jump in
first. I really appreciate it.
This is the last thing I want to say. Yeah. I think that too often people make the mistake of minimizing the black experience, the right. African-American experience right. in this country.
Right.
I think that too often people don't do any research.
Right.
They're not familiar with the real history.
Correct.
Of Africans, African-Americans, of correct. Black Americans, however you want to, whatever you want to call us in this country.
Right.
And then based on their perception,
yeah.
limited information, they make these sweeping.
Correct.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Judgments.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then they operate based off of those things.
Right.
Or they operate based off of, you know, their perception.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or their experiences and what they believe is the way things should be. And then they go and they talk about it. And because someone may have money
yeah, yeah.
or because someone has a louder voice than somebody else, people tend to listen to them and yeah. they believe that the things that they're saying are right.
Right.
Now, the things that you said
right.
to me contribute to the negative
okay.
stereotypes,
okay.
the continued psychological effects okay. of African Americans, Black Americans in this right. country, because I'm listening to someone that looks like me
right.
speak negatively of me and my history
okay.
in this country.
Okay.
And not that, and you know, everyone is entitled to their opinions,
yeah.
right? But I don't think there's any way that yeah. anybody can be informed
yeah.
about what happened to yeah. African Americans in this yeah. country
yeah.
And believe that there's no reason we should be in the position that we're in. That's just my opinion.
Right,
I, you
right,
know,
right.
you can have yours.
Right, right.
I'm just saying that that's mine.
So let me answer that question.
And not saying that we shouldn't be in a better position.
Yeah.
But one should be able to understand.
Absolutely.
We also said it.
Absolutely.
Jason, wait. Yeah. Jason, can I tell you, you got everybody who want to jump on the mic.
Yeah.
Jamal, go ahead.
I appreciate this conversation. Like, Chris,
categorically. Okay, we can talk about the chemical warfare and the mental warfare, right? And categorically, how many of your Fortune 500 companies in America were built off slave labor specifically? Or continue to make money off of the prison industrial complex, with overwhelmingly includes a majority of black
listen,
people.
Listen, there's no country
enforced.
There's no,
I'm not
from
saying
my
perspective is wrong,
right.
but I think it's without clear educated context. I'm gonna just keep it real.
All right,
okay.
So
hold on, let me answer that question. Let me.
Wait, can I get my two cents?
I think, and also,
I'll be quiet for like 10 minutes.
In perspective of. If we look at Africa now and yeah. the effects of colonialism there
yeah.
versus us being still in a colonial state.
Yeah.
And yes, if you're willing to put some of your, morals and principles to the side, you will make more money in America as a black person.
All right. So
it's
so,
not about.
Jason, I got to jump in. Right, give me 2 seconds.
I bet. All
right, so I. First off, I agree with Jason for the most part. You know, I would soften it up just a little bit. And okay. I get that it doesn't sound...
Wait, what part?
I mean, just
with?
In general. Like, just generally speaking, the general direction and the energy cast towards even black Americans. But I think it...
Well,
depends.
I want to know.
It depends
I want to know specifically what you agree with.
It depends on your perspective, right? Because yeah. I believe I am a... I know this is... I'm going to La La Land.
Yeah.
But I believe I'm a spiritual being having a physical experience. And I
correct.
Think... I think being a black American is one of the most beautiful things you can be if you're first a spiritual being. Because
absolutely.
Think about all the places you can grow. Society is constantly telling you you're at the bottom of the totem pole. Yeah. And if you choose to go anywhere, you have to believe your story more than you believe theirs. So if I believe my story mostly, right, the range which I can grow is beautiful. So I don't start at this place where I have to feel bad for us being black, because it's actually a gorgeous, wonderful thing, and the community is loving. There's so much resolve, power. It's just a lot of shit that I get from being black that I don't know if I necessarily get that experience from being Indian, right? With all of that being said, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do. Like,
yeah.
You can be where you want to be, and at the end of the day, that shit do take fucking hard work.
Yo, so
that's
Chris,
clear.
Chris,
I think that yeah, anybody
Chris, for sure. Like, so my thing is this: look,
Everybody frustrated now.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, that's like the most simple. Does. That's the most. That's the simplest thing to say.
Nah, hold on though. But hold on.
What
hold on.
About the
every but, both of y'all like?
Yeah, but hold on. Though.
You just got to work hard.
No. Hold on. Hold on though. I do agree that white people have done some bad stuff, gentrification and all that good stuff. Right? You know what I'm saying? Look, I get it. Right. But listen, I think we're at the point now in our society, in our history, where you have to do things individually. We have to kind of separate the two groups. You have to say, okay, this is the group that's going to fight for our reparations. This is the group that's going to fight for human rights and all that good stuff, right? But then we might not see reparations in our lifetime. That might be our children. You see what I'm saying? But the question now is this, right? Motherfucker, man. The bills still got to get paid, dog. Your kid's still going to have to go to school. The milk. We still need milk in the fucking fridge.
Well, I don't know who. So this is my issue with speaking in broad terms.
No, so what I'm saying is, like, for me, like, I don't have time to wait for reparations.
Who's waiting for reparations?
No, I'm not even saying, you know, like, you have people who are
Listen. Jews were given reparations. You could say Native Americans were given reparations. Japanese were given reparations. But I'm just saying. Let's not make it seem like we're waiting. There are other races of people.
Yeah.
Several races of people who were
compensated.
Yes.
All right, but we're not talking about that.
So, but nobody's waiting for. Let me give you my two cents.
No. I'm gonna tell you why. Because I watched Bernie Sanders get the question about reparations on Breakfast Club, and I watched what I thought was a shit show of an answer. But I still like him because I feel like he's probably more ethical than what we've seen in a politician. But it doesn't necessarily matter. If you ask me, is America ethical? I'm gonna say no.
This sounds like
but
the things that you guys are saying sounds like you're choosing particular talking points.
Sound like black Republicans,
right? Yeah, but it does. It sounds like you're picking particular talking points and then presenting it as if that's what the entire black race wants doing.
I guess what I'm saying
and
is,
that's
listen,
why
no,
we
it's simpler
are failing.
Than that.
And I don't even think we failed.
It's simpler than that. Do you ask me? Do we deserve reparations? Yes. Am I sitting around waiting for it? No.
Well,
I don't give a fuck. I don't think anybody is. I'm just saying there's a difference in mindset between someone who thinks they're owed some and somebody who doesn't give a fuck they're going to get it.
So what I'm
if
asking,
you say to yourself, I want $100,000 this next year, and you don't give a fuck what you got to do to get it, this next year you'll probably have $100,000. That's what Jason is saying. Right. That's all I'm saying I agree
with. Right. And all I'm asking Jason is.
Yeah.
How his experience is different from the experience that he's describing.
That was a weird question.
Because did you understand the question, Jason?
How his experience is different.
Well, he was about to answer before you said it.
No, I was going to say something else, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, again, the experience you're describing, it sounds like, is that black Americans need to do something different. I think you're holding up yourself as an example of doing something different.
Trying to, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How was what you did different from what you're saying African Americans or black Americans should do?
I still don't get it.
Okay.
I don't get the question either.
I don't get the question.
Hold on, wait a minute. This is important.
Because we got to get out of here sooner or later.
All right. Yeah. This is an important for me to understand. And then I think it'll help me understand where you guys are coming from. Yeah. Right?
I think, first off,
Your experience. Well,
give me 2 seconds. I feel like we heard two different things. You can explain what was actually being said.
Yeah.
To me, it sounded like you said, okay, you're 40 now, at 35, you started a business. And you had the mindset that I'm going to be doing something different than African Americans are doing. What I understood it to believe
that's
is,
not what he said.
I understand that, but you're saying you changed because you didn't come into this with this mindset. So,
I didn't say that's not my question that I was just about to ask. My question is, it seemed like you're saying what you did was different than what African Americans or black Americans do, and that's what got you to where you are. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you don't want to be too general. You know what I mean?
I've been saying that the whole show. Go ahead, bro.
No, you don't want to be too general. Like, obviously, like, you know, Diddy, you know, 50. It doesn't matter what.
Well,
it doesn't even necessarily matter where you come from.
No, but I'm asking about you, Jason, specifically.
Yeah.
do you believe what you did to become successful was is different in any way than what Black Americans or African American? How?
As soon as I got the motivation to move, I moved instantly.
A wind blew you out of your bed, and that got was what got. That's what you said. That's what got you moving. A voice spoke to you, then a wind blew you out the bed.
This is at 2:30 a.m. I was planting signs 5 hours later. I didn't know what I was doing.
Have you listened to any of our other podcasts?
No.
All right, windowsseat.fullserviceradio.org. There's several guests that we've had.
Yeah.
Black guests.
Yeah.
Who have a story.
But I said it's not in general. What I'm saying is, listen, I was just reading something the other day that said African Americans are going to have, as a whole, zero net worth by the year 2053.
What was that? Where'd you read that?
I read it. I don't want to misrepresent where I read it, but it was somewhere. And I've seen this before. This is by 2053. Yeah. Right now, if you go to
was it Tone Facebook?
Talk, no.
Social media? No.
Even at if zero go, point something.
Was it in a magazine?
No. If you go to Tone Talks on YouTube, if you go to Boyce Watkins, they will validate everything. Yvette Carnell, they will validate everything I'm saying as far as our net worth right now. So what I'm saying is this, right? If we need to change that, listen, this is a crisis that's about to happen. In the next, 20, 30 years, we're going to have zero net worth. Happened. It's already happening.
How? How is that going to happen? What did the article say how it was going to happen?
No, what I'm saying is white people aren't waiting for us to come up. As a matter of fact, they're burying us down.
They've always done it.
But that's fine. But what I'm saying is this. With the advent of the internet and with skills training, there's no need for that to happen, is what I'm saying. If you still think college is going to get you out of your situation or driving Uber is going to get you out of your situation.
Come on, man.
That's not it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Come on, man.
But
you know what I mean? Like, college is not the thing because you're not going to get trained in college. You know what I'm saying? And if you drive an Uber, Lyft, that's not it.
What you said earlier was your experiences before you got into teaching a database class was similar to, you know, you were trying different things.
Correct.
Right? So Uber might lead to an opportunity that might lead to something else that might lead to something else.
Yeah,
that will set you on the right path.
Yeah,
like it's difficult to, you are free to do whatever you want.
Correct.
But I want to make clear that while this is Jason's opinion, if Uber is your path, or if going to college is your path, that doesn't mean that you're not going to be successful. Like, this is your path, just like you had your path, and it wasn't until you got your message that set you on your course to. So, I'm gonna say so-called success because, you know, people measure success differently. I'm gonna keep it honest. Like, so because people measure.
Shots. Yo, you never done that before.
Because people measure success differently.
Yeah.
That is all I want to say.
Yeah.
Just to make clear, like, this because you're saying these things doesn't mean that it's necessary. There's someone that may listen to this show that's driving Uber, and I don't want them to tell themselves, well, fuck, I ain't gonna be shit because my man making, you know, $500,000 every 2 months is telling me I'm on the wrong path.
I think if you're gonna do Uber, it shouldn't last anything more than 3 weeks.
What gives you the expertise to say that?
Because you have so many options.
What gives you the expertise to say that if you do Uber for 4 weeks, you're on the wrong path?
You're on the wrong path.
How?
Let me tell you why. Because do you know that there's so many online things? Like, just say something like Amazon data entry right now that a lot of people don't know. You can make a couple $100 a day just doing data entry on Amazon. A lot of people didn't know that.
What if?
Okay. No.
So your ultimate goal is making money.
Listen.
Right? I'm just asking. Like, because your responses is how you can make money.
Let me ask you a question specifically.
Yes.
We live on planet Earth. You can't do shit without it.
Without planet Earth?
Without money. If you think that most of the problems in this life boils down to not having money, can you tell me one thing that doesn't boil down to not having money? Your health, that's money. Where your children go to school, that's money. Divorce, money. The number one reason for divorce right now is money.
Having it or not having
not having money.
Okay. You having money. Saying? Having money, you won't get divorced.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Being stressed out on a job
is money.
That's money.
Because when you have money, you're not stressed. Nobody kills themselves when they got money.
No. Hold on.
You have money, you can say, fuck this job. Yeah. That's the option you
exactly.
have.
Exactly. So, because if you have no money, right? So listen, if you have no money and you're stuck on a dead end job that you don't like, the reason why you can't leave why, and you have that stress or you have high blood pressure is because why? You have no money.
Listen. Well, are you saying that if you have money, you yes. have no problems?
That's not what I said. What I am saying
you're
is this.
You're saying that all the problems come from not having money. Hold on. If you have money, you don't have no problems.
Jamal. Let me answer the question. Hold on, Chris, real quick. Let me answer the question, right?
Yes.
This is the kind of life that I want to live.
Yes.
Watch this. No, let me answer, right? When you live in life, you're going to have problems.
Yes.
That's just the way it is, right? We all have trials and tribulations, right?
Yes.
But I never wanted it because I don't have money. If people would solve the money problem, most of the issues they're going to confront in life is
it's
nothing.
Plenty of rich, unhappy
you,
motherfuckers.
Absolutely.
Though,
have you ever?
What about
you,
affecting well, people's lives? What about spiritual
I just
wanna, growth?
I want to ask.
I'm going to tell you that's an artist back there, so he's going to give the artist perspective.
Artists make money.
Where am I at?
Me?
Where am I at? The Line Hotel and Eden Hotel. So don't try to do me like that. I'm an artist. Yes.
Artists make. But all right. So let me.
Let's be clear. So it's about affecting lives, though, too.
Yeah, but
money not gonna go nowhere with you.
But hold on,
real quick.
But hold on, listen. Like I told you guys, listen, right?
You gonna be rich and dead, and people what they gonna remember about you is that you had money.
But hold on,
not about what you did to change their lives to make their lives.
But here's the deal,
that's the conversation that should be had.
So this is the question I have. This is my retort to you personally on a personal level. All the schools that I have, I've had people with significant problems who are now on the road to declare, right? I'm changing lives one person at a time, one student at a time. You see what I'm saying? I've had people with tax debt that came to me.
That's commendable.
No. But what I'm saying
is
this,
that's
right?
Really
what I'm saying, but hold on. Listen, I've experienced not having money and all the things that, how it affects everything else. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, listen, why are blacks so disrespected all around the world? I'm not even talking about African Americans. I'm talking about blacks in general.
Yes.
It's because why?
You're going to say because we don't have money.
It's because a group of people took sciences from the Moors Temple and used it against us.
So let me say, we had a guest. Hold on.
Money is the superficial answer, bro.
I want to say two more things. I want to say two more things. Let me just say two more things.
I'm getting paid to be here. Let's be clear.
Let me just say two more things.
I want to close the show.
We will. Let me, quick. Two more things. One, we had a guest. Her name was Samara Theodore, right? She was Emmy-winning meteorologist. Yeah. Again, windowseat.fullserviceradio.org. You can go listen to her show. Yeah. She drove Uber when she was out of work. Gotcha. I'm sure she did it for more than 3 weeks.
Okay.
It didn't ruin her life. She's doing well now. Still, on TV. You can catch her. Channel 4, I believe, on the weekends.
The only reason why you would do Uber is because you feel like you don't have any other choice.
Let me.
If it's not a means to an end.
Correct.
Okay.
You don't have any other choice.
But again, these are your opinions.
It's right. Just a fact.
Why
would anybody want to do Uber? I would rather be a security guard.
Okay, I do Uber.
You make more money.
I do Uber. I have a choice. I genuinely enjoy doing. I tell Chris this all the time. Chris
has had this argument all the time.
Chris will say, what are you doing? On. I'm like, I'm driving Uber. He's why?
Yeah, but as
I said, because I like this shit. No, I really do.
But as an Uber driver, you're making $11 an hour.
That's not true, Chris.
No, that's the numbers. That's the numbers. Check the numbers.
All right, man.
Wait. I know what you're saying because I've seen the same numbers. I don't know if it was 11. It was actually worse than that.
Yeah. Because when you deduct everything, wear and tear, gas, possible tickets, and all that, it's even less than like Chris was saying.
I think if you look, it's like $5.47 or something.
Why would anybody want to do Uber?
That was my one thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, just go get a security job.
Or wait until you hear a voice that'll send you down the path to success.
I'm done. Wait. So if you've been listening, this has been a show where we've seemed to fart over the mics quite a few times.
Yeah.
But Jason,
I
have to say,
this is a great conversation.
Thank you for coming here. I thank you for setting the mic on fire. I thank you for having
strong opinion. Did I set it on fire, though?
I think so. I think the
you
mic.
Did. You did.
Hey, listen. And I was telling Lou, right? I was like, my job right now is to set the mic on fire.
The mic was definitely on fire.
I hope I accomplished that, guys. Whether you agree with me or not, right? I just want some people to think a little bit, and that's okay.
Right? So give us this. First off, if I'm interested in having my life transform, how do I get in contact with you? How do I get in contact?
No, wait. I appreciate you, Chris, but just because this is not going to transform your life. If you're interested in getting a job that will pay you more money.
Shut the fuck up. I want to have
serious, but I'm serious. So, like, I don't want to.
I'm all right, chill.
So $100,000 a year is not going to transform somebody's life?
It may.
He wants to talk for another hour. That's what he wants.
I'm sorry. You said
It may.
Okay. I guess we have a difference of opinion.
I only say that because when someone hears transform your life, they assume that it's going to transform.
I'm not talking about Jesus
positively.
Right now. I'm talking about a job.
Oh, so $100,000 is not going to be a positive influence in your life?
I don't know, man. I don't want to get into this. I was going to say one more thing. You got me. I'm on two more things. I'm on like four.
Yes, sir.
But there's a lot of people out there that will say, maybe you read this when you read the other article.
Yeah.
That money didn't improve their life. Like, it was nice when they had it and they got to have all of those experiences that they thought they wanted, but they were much happier when they were poor.
I don't know nothing about that shit.
No, you don't. Clearly.
I don't know nothing about that shit.
It sounds like you need... Have you ever had therapy? Because it sounds like you were really scarred.
Not really.
It sounds like it.
No, it's like
by your experience with your ex-wife. Now you equate everything to everything positive anyway to money.
No, but I told you before, like, ever since I was young, I've always been motivated to get money.
Yes, but you didn't have it until just 5 years ago, generally speaking.
We was okay in Africa. Like, my parents were okay, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like, but the people, I've seen it around me.
Did your parents pay for your trip here?
No.
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah.
So were you poor in Africa, or were you?
I told you we were okay.
What's okay?
But I thought you were poor. You said you were poor in Africa.
We're okay.
All
right. Like, we're okay.
Chris wants to close. I know. We about half an hour past our time. Go ahead.
All right, Chris.
No. If I want to get in contact with you, because, you know, I am a fucking Uber driver.
Yeah.
And
by the way,
I'm inspired by.
Just 1 second. One thing I want to say is this, right? Every job is honorable. I don't want anybody thinking that it's not. Every job is honorable.
You're going to give him material to talk for the next 30 minutes. He want to start.
I'd have backed up from the mic and everything. Right.
Every job is honorable, but I feel as though, like, you shouldn't be at Uber for more than 3 weeks. That's just my opinion. So go ahead, Chris. Yeah.
I need the training.
Yeah.
Is there one number, one website to call? Is there a location in Atlanta? I know you got different.
Yeah.
What do you want to give people that want to get in contact with?
Yeah, so just go to our website, New Way IT Solutions, newayitsolutions.com, or you can find us on YouTube. Just put New Way IT Solutions. See how I teach. See the different locations. And once you go to the website, it'll take you to our different locations depending on what geographic area you're in. You can click on that. We haven't put the London thing up there yet, but it's coming pretty soon. But yeah, that's how you do it.
Instagram, Facebook?
Yeah, it's just New Way IT Solutions.
All right, you got anything else that you want to tell the people before you get out of here?
As an individual, just if you're trying to get from point A to B, like, you got to just work hard and embrace the pain. That's it.
I think this was a really good show. Yeah. I am genuinely happy that you came.
Yeah, thank you.
And I think that
I think my mission was accomplished.
We had a passionate conversation, which I think is important.
Yeah.
And I think that I appreciate you being comfortable expressing your opinions.
Yeah.
And without,
I appreciate you having me here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So.
Is it on fire, Chris?
Yeah. I don't know if I have anything else to say, but we're here every Thursday at the Line Hotel, and if you're visiting Washington, D.C., it's a beautiful place to stay. I would probably put it number one on my list. I know Jamal spoke about another hotel he works at, but I'm not even going to mention that one. It's a good one. Thank you for having us. Thank you for listening. And find us at
windowseat.fullserviceradio.org. I think I said that around six times on Instagram. At Window Seat Podcast. Yeah, and until next time, be inspired.
All right, peace.
All right, peace. Jason.